So I want to, before I start on this week's parasha, which is parashas Vayakel, which I want to talk a little bit about Shabbos, about the Kedusha of Shabbos, I'd just like to go back to Megillas Esther from last week for a moment and just go into a subject that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks, but I would like to go a little bit deeper for a moment. Okay, we spoke about, on the Shabbaton, and a little bit last week, we spoke about the importance of a moment in life. The importance of what a moment is worth in life. I would like to quote something from Megillas Esther, which I have been quoting, and about a moment. And it says the following. It says that Mordechai told Esther to go in front of the king. He said, "Al tadami b'nafshech, don't worry about you. Don't think that you're going to be saved. The Jews are not going to be saved." And he said the following. Kihim ha'charesh. Tacharishi be'es hazois. If you're going to delay, if you're going to panic, if you're going to delay at this moment, right? So what's going to happen? He tells her, Revach v'atzolo yamod le'yehudim mimokam acher. That the salvation will come to the Jews from another place. V'at u'beis avich tovedu. And you and your father's home will be lost. U'mi yodeya im le'es kadois yigat l'machas. Who knows if... What's going on? How you doing? Okay. So Yetzirah has a little music playing. It's okay. Okay. So now I can come that much to Shabbos, and while we have music, I can talk, speak. Maybe I'll call that number. Anyway, so it says, maybe for this second, you came to Malchus. So I'd like to explain to you what's going on over here. It's an interesting thing that Mordechai told Esther, which I think is a point which I never made, which is a very important point for everyone in this room. What did Mordechai tell Esther? He said like this, if you're going to panic, if you're going to delay, what do you say when a person always pushes stuff off, what are they called? Procrastinate. So that's really what it means, if you're going to procrastinate. If you're going to push it off, if you're going to waver, there's going to be a moment, and if you're going to waver, then someone else is going to step in instead of you, and who knows if for that second... The whole thing that you went through in life was for that second. That's not fair. Why did Mordechai say, and that's what we always... Mordechai should have said, and if you don't go in front of the king, and you don't try to save the Jews, then someone else will save the Jews, and you will be lost. He didn't say that to her. He said something much different. He said, if you waver, if you delay, not if you don't go. In other words, even if you say... Let me think about it, and I'll think about it overnight, and then I'll make my decision. He said, then I'm telling you right now, you missed the moment, and someone else is going to save the Jews. He didn't say to Esther, if you don't go, then you're a loser, and someone else is going to do it. He was much stricter than that. He said, you can't even delay. You can't procrastinate. You can't even push it off for 1 second. Because if you push it off for 1 second, somebody else is going to step in that spot. And that is like a major, major lesson in life. Any businessman will tell you that in business, when you make a decision in real estate, you look at a building, right? The guys that make money in real estate are the guys that grab the moment. They see a building, they think it's a deal, and they go over to the guy and say, let's sign the paper now. The guys who say, listen, it looks good, let me go talk to my accountant, let me talk to my wife, let me check it out. By the time he comes, 24 hours later, to buy the building, it's already sold. Any success in life, in anything that you decide, in changing your life, I spoke to the boys about this for a long time last night. There are many girls that walk out of this year, and walk out of any year in Or Nava, or walked out of the Shabbaton and said, whoa! That's it. I'm changing everything. That's it. No more talking to boys. I'm dressing differently, depending on what Rabbi Lamb spoke, or Rabbi Wallerstein spoke, Rabbi Miller, depending on what we spoke. You ran out of the room. Finished. Right. But tonight I told him to call me. So tomorrow, after he calls me tonight and I talk to him, tomorrow I'm starting. You'll never start. I'm talking to girls, so you'll understand this. Dieting. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, my daughter got engaged. Yeah, I told you that last week. Where were you? Okay. So Baruch Hashem, my daughter Shoshana got engaged, and now, of course, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to make a wedding. And the first thing my wife does is she looks at me, not the first thing, she says, diet, you know, you gotta fit into the suit, you gotta look good in the pictures, you know. So Baruch Hashem, the last time my daughter got married, I lost like 30 pounds. And then I gained back after she got married, 50 pounds. But, so, okay, I made up my mind. I'm going on a strict diet, that's it. I know how to lose the weight, I'm going to do the protein thing, no carbs, no sugar. Yeah, I'll come to Shia, be a little dizzy, a little this, that, but I'm gonna lose that weight. Fine, come shot last week, so I buy, and we're going to talk about this, I buy the, you know, people make fun of me always, because I buy the fruit for Shabbos, and really you don't need to buy the fruit for Shabbos. My wife's like, you know, a whole Friday she doesn't see me because I go chop liver to the Gera guy, and the other thing to this guy, and I got like 30 stops every Shabbos. And the challah from this one, and this from that one. And I meet these, you know, my wife's friends, I meet them always in I'm not telling you where, because then you'll be there too. But in the fruit store on Avenue M, and not Mountain Fruit, but Mountain Fruit's good. I'm not saying anything against Mountain Fruit. But whatever, and I shop there every Friday. And of course, they always see me there, and they go, so, you know, maybe you want to shop for me, you know, since you pick out all the fruit, maybe you could shop for me. And of course, I say yes, and of course, they never called me after that to shop for them. But, you know, I go out. Every, you know, so this week I went to the fruit store and he has this pre-cut grapefruits and pre-cut oranges and watermelon also. And I'm looking, I'm like, that's it. This Shabbos, I'm starting my diet. So instead of eating chulent and kugel, I'm going to buy all these pre-cut grapefruits, because to go sit and peel the grapefruit, it's not going to happen. But if I buy a pre-cut, I bought all the pre-cut fruit. My refrigerator is full of pomegranate seeds and blueberries and whatever you can name. That's it. I'm on my diet. It's unbelievable. Right? Come Shabbos. I'm like, it's Shabbos. and you know, they say that on Shabbos you don't gain weight, which is absolutely not true, because you go to the scale on the scale before Shabbos, you go to the scale after Shabbos, you tell me that that's true. Of course it's not true. You sit and you eat challah and your herring and everything else, right? What the Medrash might have said is that the Neshama Yisera doesn't gain weight, but we don't see that. So, you know, so Shabbos, I said, nah. You don't start a diet on Shabbos. It's keneged halacha. You're machal Shabbos apikiris if you don't eat chulent on Shabbos. I mean, chas v'shalom. Grapefruit sections? Did my parents eat grapefruit sections on Shabbos? Is that what they brought to the table? So I don't want to be an apikiris. I'm a from Jew. So I have to eat chulent. I have no choice. And kugel and herring and chopped liver. You have to. I mean, chas v'shalom. I should be a shegetz. I don't want to be a shegetz, right? Okay. You know, this whole thing with sushi on the Shabbos table is a little weird. You know, my father never had sushi on the table, you know, but it's a new thing. People buy sushi for Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, if that's what you enjoy, well, no, there's nothing wrong with it. Whatever you enjoy, you're supposed to have on the table. If you enjoy sushi, you should have no problem. No problem. Anyway, so now Shabbos is over. It's Matzah Shabbos. I just want to explain to you from my angle. You guys have your own diets. This is a guy, from a guy angle. So now it's Matzah Shabbos. Okay, you got to start. You got to start your diet. But my kids, my girls, they don't eat challah. And there's a half a challah left over. Baltashkes. So, chas v'sham, I can't throw out the bread. So, malava malka is part of Shabbos. You probably don't gain weight either. So, fine, I had bread. Okay. But that's it. It's over, and I'm starting my diet. I got 2.5 months to lose 40 pounds. This is very serious business. That way I don't have to buy a new suit, because I still have the suit from other doors wedding. You can just slip right into it. You need a shoehorn to slip into it, but okay. Fine. Come Sunday morning, and I'm like, that's it. I'm on my diet. I have a salad with tuna, with that light mayonnaise, whatever. It's mamish, pekuach nefesh. Sunday night, I'm starving out of my brains, and I'm saying to myself, I once heard a Dvar Torah, and it went like this. You're not allowed to start a diet on Sunday. I remember hearing that Sunday you don't start a diet. It's like tachanun in the morning. Sunday you don't start a diet. So here I am starting Sunday. I'm like, Sunday night? I don't start a diet on Sunday. It's wrong. Nobody starts a diet on Sunday. I'll be like all the other human beings in the world, and I'll start Monday morning. Okay, now this diet already started Friday. I was buying grapefruit sections. Meanwhile, I'm still eating everything I want to eat, right? There were some nice ladies here who sent me chocolate. Thank you very much. It was very good, right? Bottom line is, it's now Wednesday night, I'm giving a shiur, and I don't even want to tell you what I ate today. But today I also had a reason, because this morning after davening, today was the Noam Elimelech's yard site. And they had cake, and it was chocolate cake. And it's a yard site, you have to make a bracha. So this morning I had to make a bracha. You can't just walk out and not have a piece of cake, Noam Elimelech. So I had three pieces of cake. And since I already broke my diet this morning and I had three pieces of cake, so I ate the rest of the day. So here we are on Wednesday. I weigh now 6 pounds more than I weighed on Friday. And not only I didn't lose weight, but I gained weight. Now this sounds very funny, right? I'm telling you the truth. This is not, I'm not making a comedy. This is true. And a lot of you who are laughing, you understand where I'm coming from, right? Been there, done that. Okay. Now why did Rabbi Wallstein supposed to have a little bit of control on himself? So what happened over here? And that's what, I'm human? Aha. Uh-huh. Humans don't have control on themselves? Well, okay, that'll be next week's share. But seriously, what happened? What happened was that I didn't do what Mordechai said. Im ke'es la'zois tacharishi, if you're going to waver, if you're going to make excuses and you're going to waver and you're not going to start, in that moment's gone. That moment Friday when I was in that fruit store and I made up my mind to be on a diet, that was there. And it was gone. And once it was gone with all my excuses, to get that moment back is almost impossible. So it has to do with dieting. It has to do with mitzvahs. It has to do with averus. It has to do with a person changing their life. So many of us in this room have decided that we're not listening to Goyish music anymore. Whatever the subject matter was. But I got to listen one more time. And then I'm going to throw them all away. You know what I'm talking about. You never throw them all away. And this is such a huge lesson that Mordechai was telling Esther. He said, listen to me. You're Esther, and I'm going to read to you tonight a little bit about who Esther was. You're not talking about some girl, you know, just out of school. Esther HaMalka, when it says that she stood in front of the Melech, in Kabbalah, the Zohar says that she was standing in front of Hashem. The Melech in the Megillah was Hashem, and Hashem was either going to put his Shabbat Hazav and touch her on the head or not. Esther HaMalka was in the other world. I mean, you're talking about someone huge. And Mordechai is telling her that if in this second you don't go in front of the king, it's not going to happen. You're not going to go in front of the king. If you waver, you're not going to get that moment back. And therefore, and don't think for one second that God needs you. Don't think for one second that if Esther wavered, that the Jews wouldn't have been saved by someone else. You know, people, you want to hear a crazy story? I'll tell you a crazy story. Last week, I went to a wedding in Ateres Avram, and I come up the steps. This boy, he must have been about 25, walks over to me. Hi, Rabbi Wallerstein. Now, this is, of course, the new phenomenon, because everyone knows what I look like, because of, thank you, TorahAnytime.com, because everybody watches it, so they know what I look like. I used to walk around, nobody knew who I was. Now, oh, I go to pizza store. Oh, Wallace, Baruch Hashem, it's good for me. I can't do anything wrong. Everyone knows what I look like. I have to be a tzaddik. You know what I'm saying? I was on Avenue J the other day, and I had my cell phone in my hand. And I said, put that in your pocket, because they all know what you look like, and you're going to give a share on cell phones, and they're going to say, we saw you, Wallstein. You were on Avenue J. So my whole life has changed. Thank you to, you know, TorahAnytime.com. So this random guy, I never saw him before in my life, walks over to me and says, you're Rabbi Wallstein. I watch you on TorahAnytime.com. So, of course, you know, you're an honor. You put your head down. Oh, thank you. I hope you enjoy it. You know, I hope it's okay, you know. Yeah. And he says, I got to ask you a question. It's a question that's bothering me. I'm like, okay. He says, you know, tonight you were by the wedding and they called you up for the last bracha. And the whole girl section got up. Doesn't that make you a big shot? Like, aren't you, like, when you see that, it's a random guy. I never met the guy before in my life, right? Like, aren't you like a Balgaiva? Like, how do you deal with your Gaiva? You saw all those girls get up for you. You know they all got up for you. So, like, you know, how do you deal with that? Like, you know, or are you a Balgaiva? You know, or... So, I'm like, wow, strange guy. Straight, you know, like, just ask me a question like that. So, I, you know, put my head down. I said, really? They got up? I didn't say anything. Really? They stood up? Really? I knew every single one that didn't. Whoever didn't stand up, I went over to him and said, why don't you stand up for me? You know what I mean? So I was like, ah, yeah. So I told him, I said, the real answer, the true answer is, I said, because it has nothing to do with me. And that's the truth. I'm a Rebbe for 30 years, and when I walk in, my class has to stand up. And if they don't stand up, the Rabbi Goldstein gets very angry. He says, you have to tell them to stand up. And I'm like, I don't need them to stand up for me. And the teretz is that they don't stand up for you. They stand up for the Torah that you teach. So I told this guy, I said, I know that if I got up here, every Wednesday night, I've been a good storyteller since I'm a little kid. I had to be. I came up with stories where my homework ended up. I mean, I told my parents stories and my teachers stories, which were just amazing. Amazing, really. They sent them, some of them, to Reader's Digest. They were amazing stories. I've been telling stories for a very long time. But I can't imagine that if I would get up here every Wednesday night and tell you Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer or Cinderella. I do a pretty good Cinderella. I can do tell it's a good story. Or the Three Bears or any of these stories. I can imagine that you'll come one week, but I'm thinking you're not coming next week to hear Rabbi Wallerstein tell his version of the Three Bears. I don't think so. Why? Because what am I selling? I'm selling nothing. I'm talking about nothing. So you'll come, maybe I'll get a book reading in Barnes & Noble one week, but then no one's coming back the next week. So why do people come back? It's because of what I'm saying. It's because what I'm saying is Torah. And Torah is our gems. You know, I always tell my salespeople, you know, when they come to me and they say like they're buying it at $20 a thousand. Can I go in at 18? We're losing money at 18. Can I go in at 18? I'm like, you're not a salesman. Anyone in the world, something that someone's paying $20 can sell it for the same thing for $18. Of course he's going to buy it. What's a salesman? What's a good salesman? Who do I want to hire? That they're buying it for 20 and you talk so well, you got them to buy it for 25 and they're smiling. That's a salesman. But if I have a diamond, right, and I give it to any girl in this room and the diamond's worth $10,000 and I'm like, let's go see if you're a good salesman. Go sell it for $4. Of course the first person you're going to go to is going to buy it for $4. That doesn't mean you're a good salesman, because a diamond is very, very valuable. So I know, yes, I'm able to say it over very nicely, but the bottom line is that the Torah, the reason the girls are getting up, is not because of Rabbi Wallerstein. Because if anyone else would say the same thing, right, there would be just as many people listening. So I mean, there's no guy over here, because there's nothing to do with me. It has to do with the diamonds that I'm selling, with the Torah that I'm selling. That's what it has to do with. But I want to tell you something else. I know, I have no question in my mind, I'm saying this barabbam in front of all of you, that if Rabbi Wallerstein 4.5 years ago would not have decided to open Ornava, Ornava would be here exactly as many girls would be in this room, and Ornava would be here, and there'd be somebody else talking right now. Maybe Eli Mansour, maybe someone you never heard of. You never heard of me before 4 years ago. I was in a classroom with eighth grade boys. Nobody in this room knew me at all. So what happened? There was a girl that came to me who's sitting in the back, named Daphne, who said to me, in a moment in time, said, Rabbi Wallerstein, it's Tisha B'Av night, and there's going to be a bunch of girls in my apartment, and they have no one to speak to them about what Tisha B'Av is, and I would like you to come. And at that second, it was Tisha B'Av night, I had all the excuses to say, what are you kidding me? I got to fast. At Tisha B'Av night, I got to go sit down and talk to a bunch of girls I don't know, and you should have seen that apartment. It was packed. I was sitting in the kitchen, talking to the girls who were in the living room. I wasn't even in the same room with them. So at that second, that was my moment. And Hashem said, we'll see what he does. If he takes on, fine. If he doesn't take on, somebody else will take on. So what am I being a big shot about? I'm just the opposite. I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave me that moment and that I was smart enough to take that moment. But there's no question that Ornava would be here whether Wallerstein was here or not. It would just be someone else. So it's for me to grab that moment. I'm the fool if when that moment was brought to me, I didn't take it. And this is what Mordechai told Esther. He said, listen to me carefully. There's a moment in time you could step in and be Esther Hamalka, and from now on till Mashiach comes, everyone's going to walk around and say, Brucha Esther Hamalka, forever and ever. What other woman do we walk around and say, Brucha, someone Hamalka? We say, Brucha Rus, the grandmother of David HaMelech? Do we say, Brucha any Sarah? Do we say, Brucha Sari Menu? Brucha Rivka, Rachel Leah? There's one woman, Brucha Esther Hamalka. Now Esther Hamalka, you have 1 second, and if you don't stand up in that second and take it, it's going to be Brucha Devorah Hamalka, or Brucha Rus Hamalka, or Sarah Hamalka. What he was telling her is that someone is going to step into that moment if you don't. And that's why everyone in this room has to understand and has to know. None of us are, we're all dispensable. No one's indispensable. Nobody. Moshe Rabbeinu died. Moshe Rabbeinu died. If he could die and Klal Yisrael could go on, then anybody could die and Klal Yisrael could go on. Yes, Yeshua ben Nun wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, but we continued. And the Chafetz Chaim died. And Moshe Feinstein died. And I go to Yeshiva now, Rosh Shmuel Birnbaum is not with us anymore. Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. And guess what? This morning in Mir, there's 600 guys sitting and learning. Life goes on. Nobody's indispensable. But what Mordechai was telling Esther is, you have a chance to be someone in this world to make a difference. if you hesitate, if you say there's no dieting on Sunday, it starts on Monday, if you hesitate, it's not going to happen. And I think that's the biggest, you know, the Shabbaton was an unbelievable Shabbaton. But the question is, what did everyone do Sunday and Monday? Or did they say, great Shabbaton, I have to think about changing this, I have to think about changing that. That's the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is, in the physical world, I have a Yetzer Hara to eat. The Yetzer Hara dieting is, listen, Monday morning. What's the big deal? Sunday, Monday. In the end, you're dieting for 2.5 months. You think Sunday, Monday is going to make a difference? Yes, the difference is that if you don't start on Sunday, you're not going to start on Monday. And that's what Mordechai told Esther at this moment. He didn't say, if you don't go. He said, if you waver. And I'm telling you, in anything in life, even in a shidduch, there's a moment where you make a decision, this is the guy. And if the person in that moment is going to waver, you're not getting married for a long time. Yeah, 100%. There's a moment where you know he's the guy. And if you're going to say, but, even though you know in your heart, this is the guy, but, tomorrow I'll decide. Tomorrow there'll be a million other things the Yitzhak will put in your head. He doesn't want Shidduchim, he doesn't want Jewish children. So I'm not telling you on your first date, you know, decide then. But there is a moment, everything in life has a moment. Death is a moment, birth is a moment, everything in life has a moment. And that moment, when that moment comes, in a business too, when you have to make a business decision, it's a moment. And if you delay that moment, somebody else gets it. I read Trump, not that I'm quoting Trump, but he wrote a book, and I was young at the time, and I wanted to be a bit multimillionaire like him. He wrote a book on how to be successful. He wrote a book. So what did Trump say, how to be successful? You think this guy, he's going to write, yeah, he's a very mean guy, whatever. Yeah, you have to be mean and hard in business and have no heart. You know what he wrote in his book? He said, you know why I am more successful than anybody else? He says, because I get up at 4:30 in the morning, I exercise, I take a shower, I am in my office at 5:15 a.m. This is what he wrote, quote, by the time my competition wakes up, I already bought all the buildings. Competition shows up at 9 o'clock. Okay, let's take a look what's for sale. He bought everything already. Im hachareish, it's not funny. Im hachareish tacharishi, you have to learn from him how to work in Yiddishkeit. Person has to get up early. If you want something, you have to make a decision. You have to jump on that decision. And it's the same thing with tshuva. I'll do tshuva next week. It's just not going to happen. And this is what Mordechai, it's a very big lesson. And that's why Esther Hamalka became Esther Hamalka. Because she understood that it's not good enough to do the job. I have to do it now. I have to do it this second. Because if I don't grab it, right, she got this chutz of saving the whole Klal Yisrael. If I don't grab it, Klal Yisrael is going to be saved, or it's going to be by someone else. There's a lot of women in this room that have amazing ideas, and have had amazing ideas in their life to change the world, to change their marriage, to change their family, to change themselves. And they're sitting here today, 20 years later, 30 years later, 10 years later, 4 years later, 2 days later, and nothing has changed. And if you ask them why, if they really look at why, is because the moment they decided to change, they pushed it off. They didn't change at that moment. They said, I'm going to change, but you don't diet on Sunday. We'll start on Monday. And Monday never shows up. Monday never happens. And this is a very important lesson in Yiddishkeit, girls, that when you make up your mind to do something, the Yetzer Hara is going to tell you, he just wants to delay you. He's not going to try it. He's not going to stop you. At first, he got, what do you mean? I just went to a Shabbaton. We had a shir today. Whatever, in a Teres Nava, I'm not going to get into it, the whole shir, but the bottom line is that the girls in the shir, right, when I taught them, it was very hard to accept. It was very hard to accept. All of a sudden, I told them something from the Rambam, and all of a sudden they're like, this came out of nowhere. They're like, yeah, but how do you know the Orech HaShulchan Pasen is like that? And how do you know the Shulchan Aruch Pasen? And I'm looking at that. I'm like, 1 second, if the Rambam said it was allowed, you'd be asking me, how do you know about the Aruch HaShulchan Pasuk? It's like that, or the Shulchan Aruch? Right? All of a sudden they knew about the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shulchan Aruch. It was a very hard thing when I taught them today, and I'm not getting into it tonight. But it's a very hard thing when I taught them to accept. Now, there were girls that walked out of that class and said, this is what we learned, I accept it, that's it, I'm going home, and I'm making this change in whatever the change has to be, have a nice day, and that's it. And there were other girls that said, listen, prove it. I want to know all the Achronim and Rishonim on it. Ask Rav David. Ask this one. Do that one. Do this one. It'll never happen for them. And by the way, if any of you are here, and I know that some of you are here, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says exactly the same words. The Shulchan Aruch says exactly the same words. And there is no Pesach in the world that quotes any differently than the word Asher. So whoever's here who had questions on the Rambam, just take a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is basic, and you can look it up, and he says, Asr. So it was a hard thing to accept, whatever it is, and I'm definitely not going here tonight. Maybe a different day. I'll have to talk to my girls in seminary and see if it's something I could talk about publicly. But Lemaisa, they walked out, they all walked out. There were 25 girls in that class. I would say five of them said, Reb Wallerstein said this, he showed us the Rambam, now, I'm putting it into effect now, it's over. And the other 15 said, we'll see, we'll talk about it, we'll think about it, and they won't be able to hold by it. They won't be able to do it. So when you make a decision to change, to grow, to do something, jump on the moment. Because especially if it's a moment in for Klal Yisrael, if you don't do it, right, if you don't save that kid, and you're not makara of that girl who's going through a very tough life, and you're not going to be there for her, don't think that if you're not there for her, Hashem has nobody else to be there for her. You're the one who's missing, not her. Because if you're not going to be there, you're not going to get the mitzvah. Somebody else will get the mitzvah. Or Nava would be here. I just wouldn't have this chus, that's all. But it would be here. There's nothing to talk about. Nobody's indispensable. Okay. So that's just on that. Now, what's interesting, I spoke a little bit about it last week. I realized speaking that nobody jumped out of their chairs. Not that I want you to jump out of your chairs tonight, but I'm like talking about this the whole week and I'm like crazy about it. I realized that not everyone understood what I was saying. And it's very deep. Even by the boys, there were certain guys sitting in my chair last night that were shaking their head like, what is he talking about? But we spoke about that the Gzeira on Purim was written, right? And Eliyahu Navi, Mordechai wanted to know if it was written in blood or if it was written in ink. And the difference is if it's something, a gzeira, an edict is written by Hashem, signed by God in the next world in ink. And if you look in the Megillah, in the Medrash, in Megillah's Esther, they actually brought, we don't understand what that means, but they actually brought parchment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the gzeira written on it. Sort of a mirror of what was going on down here, happened over there. And Hashem signed. And that's what it says in Mordechai Yada. Mordechai found out through Kavanot that Hashem signed. So it said, so Eliyahu Navi said, if it's signed in blood, forget about it. You can't change it. If it's signed in ink, you can change it. So they went down to look, and I say this all the time, and it says, Hikaslev La'avdom, that Haman wrote to destroy us. La'avdom spells Lobadam, not in blood. So when they read that it's not in blood, Eliyahu Navi was happy, Moshe Rabbeinu was happy, everybody was happy. So there was something bothering me. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus talks about this. And I don't understand. You tell me that if God signs a contract, he doesn't keep it? What's the difference if he signs it in blood or if he signs it in ink? You're telling me that if God signs something in ink, you can change his mind? He signed a contract. And what's this whole thing of signing in blood? Whose blood? What, Hashem has blood? He cuts his vein a little bit and then he takes a little, you know, like when I was a young boy growing up, so there was a big thing that was very in style in those days. And that was, if you're a good friend of somebody, you become a blood brother. I don't know, I read some crazy, that was Huckleberry Finn talking with Tom Sawyer, whatever. So I read some crazy book, and I was a crazy kid. So me and my best friend, we, you know, made a little prick in our hands, and we mixed blood and friends forever. I haven't spoken to him for 30 years, this guy, right? But the main thing is that we're blood brothers, and we mix blood. Today it's a dangerous thing, you don't do that. You have to get blood tested and hang and go to a lab, you know, before you do something. But don't try that at home. Chas v'shalom. I don't want any of you to do that. It was a mishigas in those days, whatever. I was into Tom Sawyer. That's what Huckleberry Finn did, whatever. So I did it with this guy, whatever. So we mixed blood. But Lemaisa, what are you talking about here? Whose blood? Whose blood is Hashem signing? Malachim, my blood. Where is he getting blood in Shemayim to sign that they went to look if it was written in blood? Moshe Rabbeinu said that his gzeirah was written in blood, that he wouldn't go into Israel. And therefore he knew that if it's written in blood, you can't change it, and he, Taka, couldn't change it. So this is a very deep concept, girls. It's a very, very deep concept. And we spoke a little bit about it last week. In God's world, outside of this world of time, in a world of time, there's a past, a present, and a future. But if you lived in a world that has no time, there is no past, there is no present, there is no future. All three, the past, the present, and the future, are in one moment. So a moment in the other world is past, present, and future. So listen to what Eliyahu Navi asked. Eliyahu Navi said, take a look at the Gzeira that was written against the Jews and see if it's written in blood. Whose blood? The Jews' blood. Which means that look and see if it's true that the Jews were destroyed on Purim. Because being destroyed on Purim was what's going to happen, but at the same time, it's what happened and what's happening now. So, he was asking, did the Jews die? I know you're trying to figure out, what is he talking about? Because it didn't happen yet. But in that world, in the next world, the future is the present. So he was saying, if the Jews are going to die in the future, then there'll be Jewish blood. So take a look and see on the edict that's written, is there Jewish blood? Did they die? Did they die? And the answer came back, they did not die. That's why we're all here. We did not die. They did not die. That means that we still have a chance to keep it that they did not die. How can we do that? By fasting and doing tshuva and by davening and doing everything else. You're not following me. Okay. All right. Then how come you're not jumping because you'd sneeze and you don't want to jump out of your chair? Do you understand what he's saying over here? He's saying, because they didn't die, therefore they're not dead. And therefore, they didn't die in the future. They didn't die in the past. And they didn't die in the future. So, at this moment, when they looked at the whole picture, there was no blood because we were saved. So, Mordechai said, "If you see that we didn't die, let's make sure it doesn't happen. It doesn't turn into blood. So, let's daven and let's do tshuva." And that's why Yonavi was very happy because he saw the end of the story. He saw all of us sitting in this room tonight. He saw that Haman did not destroy us all. It's very deep. It's a zayar. I understand it because I spent a long time on this famous question. The most famous question that people ask is that if Hashem knows everything you're going to do, that means you don't have any choice. So what does it mean that you have choice? If Hashem knows tomorrow you're going to chas v'shalom do an aveira, right? That means He knows. If He knows, it means you don't have a choice. It's a famous question that's always asked. And Baruch Hashem, I understood that question when I was 20 years ago. Somebody explained it to me. It's a zayar, and he explained it to me, and he explained it to me so well that I understand that. The only way Hashem, and this is connected to this Zohar, the only way Hashem knows that tomorrow you went into a Burger King and ate a cheeseburger is because tomorrow you went into a Burger King and ate a cheeseburger. And if you would have gone tomorrow into Kosher Delight and eaten a steak sandwich, then that's what Hashem would have known. Because there's no past, present, and future. So you have a choice to what Hashem knows in the future of what you're going to do because that's what you did. Okay. All right. It's a hard thing to explain. It's the only way you could really explain this question is now, Baruch Hashem, that we have cameras. So let's say there's a basketball game and a guy has a friend and it's a championship game. This guy goes to the game. His friend says, listen, I have to go to college tonight. I can't go to the game. I can't watch the game. Don't you dare tell me what happened. I want to, we'll tape it on the TV and I want to watch the video. And don't you dare ruin the whole game for me because the guy tells him what happened, right? So this guy goes to the game and it's a tie game. And there's 3 seconds left in the game, and there's one guy that's underneath the basket, and he's wide open, and there's a guy in the corner, and the whole place is screaming, pass the ball! Don't shoot, pass the ball, there's a guy open right underneath the basket. You know what I'm talking about, underneath the basket? Yeah, okay. So, pass the ball! And the guy doesn't listen, he takes the shot, and he misses. And it wasn't tied, they were losing by one, and they lose. Okay, this guy comes home, the Knicks lost, right, he's all upset, and his friend walks into the house, I know you were by the game. I don't know why. I want to know what happened. The most exciting game in the world. They were tied, mamish, to the last second, right? If you tell them that they lost, then there's no reason watching the beginning of the game, right? So they're sitting there, and they're on the couch. And to this guy to the guy who's watching the video, the game is taking place now. You all agree? Because he doesn't know what's going to happen. He's watching, and the game is taking place now. Now there's 3 seconds left. And this guy who's watching the video is sitting there, and he's screaming. The same thing that the whole, when it was really happening, was screaming. And he goes, pass the ball! The guy is open underneath! He's screaming, pass the ball! Meanwhile, the guy who went to the game is sitting there and saying, he's not going to pass the ball, and they're going to lose. Why? How does he know that he's not going to pass the ball, and they're going to lose? Because that's what happened! So, the video where this guy's watching sort of a new game to him, really happened already. Why? Why didn't the guy pass the ball on the video? Because he didn't pass the ball in real life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what you're going to do because that's your choice. He's sort of watching the video. So he sees what you're going to do, but he doesn't control what you're going to do. He only sees it before you did it, because there's no before in the next world. There's no before. How do you explain that to someone who lives in a world of time? That's as close as you can explain it to someone. So now let's look at when a person does an Aveira. When a person does a sin, so that means that that sin that he's doing is in the moment, is in the past, is in the future, and goes forever, ever, 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 and ever. Because in the next world, where the future and the past and the present is all the same, it stays in that moment. You see, you have a moment in time. It's a little bit deep, but you have to follow me because it's very important. When you have a moment in time, so the moment's over. It's not. It's gone. Last second is gone. You never can get that moment back. But a moment in a place where there is no time is forever. A moment in a place where there's time is there and then it's gone. But a moment in a place where there is no time, it's past, future, and present. Put together, it's forever. So when a person does an Aveira, when a person does a sin, that sin is lo'aylam. And that's why in Kabbalah we learn that when a person does a sin, he destroys thousands of worlds. And when a person does a mitzvah, he creates thousands of worlds. And I'm thinking to myself when I learned it, he did one Aveira? I atom bombed thousands of earths? And the answer is, that Aveira that you did in the next world goes and goes and goes and keeps destroying. Doesn't stop. It keeps destroying because in a world of no time, there's no stopping time. So it continues to destroy, to destroy, to destroy. L'olam v'ed, forever and ever. And when a person does a mitzvah, it continues to create and create and create and create and create forever and ever. So thousands and millions and hundreds of thousands of worlds that you keep creating, you keep creating, you keep creating. And we don't understand that. We don't know that. And that's why it tells us, oh, I didn't have air, no big deal. No. A person has to do tshuva. You have to stop. What does tshuva do? Tshuva, listen carefully. I'm sorry that it's such a deep shear, but it's good. We got to, you know, we got to grow. We can't just tell funny stories. You got my diet business now? We got to grow a little bit. What does tshuva do? Tshuva erases that moment of Aveira. So by erasing that moment of Aveira, that Aveira in the world of no time has no life. It doesn't exist. That moment of time is erased by Kodesh Baruch Hu. He takes that time away. That's why in the next world, if a person does tshuva the way he's supposed to, so when they play your movie, right? There's tshuva meyira, you're scared Hashem's going to punish me. There's tshuva meyira, so you do tshuva. So what happens in the next world? So my story that I've said many times, I was a little boy. I'm doing tshuva right now. I was 12 years old. I loved Cracker Jacks because Cracker Jacks had a toy on the bottom. And they were not kosher. I'm hoping that they were because now they are, and I think they are. Maybe they're Chol Vakum, but they're kosher. And I'm thinking that they didn't change anything. But as a kid, I knew they weren't kosher. I mean, officially, they weren't kosher. And I walked in, and I'll never forget, I was 12 years old, I walked into that store, and it was sitting there with a jumbo box, and it was on sale. I remember the guy, he has a little dog next to him, whatever. I remember the box. You know, when you're doing a Aveira, you remember it really clearly. Mitzvahs, you don't remember so well. And I remember that box, and I was like, ah, it's not kosher. Should I do it? Should I do it? Well, let me look at the ingredients. It doesn't say pig. It doesn't, you know, maybe, yeah. But anyway, I bought it, and I ate it. And for some crazy reason, 3 years ago, I'm standing in Kippur in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, and in my head, right, Cracker Jacks are bothering me. And I'm like, what? First of all, I was 12 years old. Why is this? This is what's bothering me? And I'm not such a tzaddik that I didn't have any other Aveira. It's like, yeah, such a tzaddik. Your only Aveira was eating Cracker Jacks. No, no. I wasn't such a tzaddik. And this Aveira was bothering me. So I said to this, I said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm really sorry. I was a stupid kid. I had a Yetzer Hara for it. You gave me everything. My parents gave me all the food that I needed to have. I wasn't really hungry. I wasn't starving. I love you, and I can't believe I did this to you. It's like the dumbest thing I ever did. And I spent time doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. Now let me tell you what happens. What's going to happen in the next world? So in the next world, that happened. I ate Cracker Jacks. It happened on September 9th at Monday morning at whatever 11:30 and 10 seconds. They have everything timed, like on your camera. You know, everything's timed in the next world. So now the Yetzer Hara is going to sit there, and the most embarrassing thing is when they call in the whole family, and your father, and your grandfather, and your great-grandfather, and all the tzaddikim, and all your relatives, everyone, and they're going to watch now. Oh, they're not bored in the next world. They get to watch your movie of your life. Oy vey. Oy, 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 oy. Right? So here they come to that movie. Yeah, it's very scary. Don't think for one second that there's anything you do in the privacy that you think you're by yourself that's not on that tape. Everything's on tape. My Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, so when the girls come to get a bracha, well, the Americans come to get a bracha. So when I'm there, they always say to him, Rabbi, can I take a picture of you? Can you take a picture with you? Right? And you're like, there's a lot of rabbis in Israel. Can't take no pictures. Right? Some of them, you'd be, you know, they're such big tzaddikim, they're malachim. You take a picture, they don't come out. It's like nobody there. You know, it's like, oh boy. or malachim, or not malachim, whatever, one side or the other. But Rabbi Gamliel lets everyone take pictures. Take pictures, all you want. And he always says the same thing. He says, human beings' pictures, I'm not scared about. I'm scared about the pictures they take from there. He always says the same thing. So everything that we do is on a film. And there's only one way to get that off the film, and that is to do tshuva. So, a person who does tshuva because they're scared, what happens? So the Yetzer Hara is sitting there, and he's like, okay, well, let's skip through all the good stuff she did. Let's get to, let me see, yeah. Thursday, Wallerstein, that guy who used to get up and give all those speeches, yeah. Thursday, 9:30 in the morning in 5 seconds, let's show them all what Wallerstein was really like. I got that crackerjack thing written down, right? So everybody's sitting there watching Wallerstein, and Wallerstein's standing in Nebuchadnezzar, he's all red in the face. Oh boy, I remember those crackerjacks. And they come to that moment in the film, and it goes blank. It goes blank. There's a space, it's blank. And the HR is screaming, what do you mean, crackerjacks? I was there. I was in the box. I mean, I was next to him. I was part of this. Hello? Don't MS. God has to be MS. You can't leave that on the cutting floor. I worked very hard on him. It took me 25 minutes in his head working him to do that Aveira. What do you mean that blank? And the answer is, Wallerstein was scared. He didn't want to get punished. So he did tshuva meyira. So it's blank. And everyone in the room knows I did something wrong, but they don't know what I did. So it's not such a bad embarrassment. But if I did tshuva me'ahava, if I went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, you're my father. God, you do everything for me. You give me vision. I'm able to talk. I'm able to walk. I'm able to live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I love you. I cannot believe for a stupid box of Cracker Jacks, I spit you in your face. Hashem, I love you. I feel so bad. I right? That's tshuva me'ahava. Listen to what happens to the poor Yetzer Hara. So now they come to 9 o'clock in 22 seconds. And the agents go, yeah, now we're going to see what Wallerstein's really all about. And Wallerstein, he's 12 years old, he comes walking into the store, and the HR is like, yeah, I remember this. He went to the left, he has everything down. He went to the right, oh, then he saw it, then he started to think about it, and Wallerstein's going to the left, and he keeps going to the left, and he keeps going to the left, and there is a Reisman's kokosh cake. And Wallerstein goes over to the Reisman's kokosh cake, and he opens up the wrapper. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. And then when he finishes the cake, he throws out the paper. He doesn't leave it on the floor. Throws out the paper, and he makes an ala michya. And the Yetzer Hara is standing there like, what? What happened to the Cracker Jacks? And the answer is that a person who does tshuva me'ava, Hashem takes your aveira, and he turns it into a mitzvah. So you have the ability, listen carefully, there's a thing called a moment. And a moment is forever. Hashem created tshuva before he created the world, says the Zohar. Before Hashem ever created the world, he created the ability to do tshuva, to wipe off something that you did in time and take it outside of time and make it that it doesn't exist. What happens? Listen carefully. So now you do tshuva and they erase the past. But a world of no time, the past is the present and the future. So once you erase the past, the present and the future go with it. So when you erase the Aveira that you did in your past, so the future, when you come to the next world, that Aveira keeps going, going, it's gone, it doesn't exist. That whole space is taken out. And that's why Hashem had to create it before the world, because our world has a sun and a moon and time. And God had to create tshuva before time. So he gives us this crazy present, this unbelievable present, where he gives you a chance to do something that you can't do in this world. You can't go back and change time. Anyone will tell you that, no matter how much you're going to learn in college. You can't change time. Yeah, they make great movies, going back to the future, back to the future. They made a lot of money. You get into a car, you flip it out, H.G. Wells, the time machine, wrote a good story. But in real life, there's no time machine. You can't go back. And what people always say is, I wish I could go back and change it. Oh, yeah, yeah, you hear old people. You go, oh, Rabbi Wallerstein, if I can only change what I did in my past. Oh, if I can only change my life. And even by the guy, you go to a bar. You shouldn't go to a bar. I'm not telling you to go to a bar. Maybe on a date, you went to a lounge. It's not a bar, right? And the old people are standing, sitting there. You hear them on the bar, and they're half drunk, and they're drinking like, oh, man, if I could only change my life. I wasn't good to my kids. I wasn't good to my wife. I wasted so much time. If I could only change my life. But you know, man, you can't go back, man. You just can't go back. And he slushes down another drink. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us as Jews a chance to go back. We don't have to sit at the bar and say, oy vey, look what I did. I messed this up. I messed that up.
No. Hashem says, you can do tshuva. You can go back in time. I gave you that present because I live in a world of no time. You can go back in time and you can change what you did. You can do a real tshuva. What a crazy present. The Yetzer Hara tells you, well, you can't do tshuva. He's not going to forgive you. You're going to come up there and he's going to tell you, ha, you thought you did tshuva. It doesn't count. Wrong. A person can do tshuva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that tshuva and he takes that moment in time that you made that mistake and he turns it and he takes it out of time. He pulls it out of time. It doesn't exist anymore. The Cracker Jack story doesn't exist. Whilst he never went and ate Cracker Jacks. I never ate Cracker Jacks. If I did a real tshuva, I never ate Cracker Jacks. I ate Reisman cakes. I didn't eat Cracker Jacks. It's an unbelievable power. But you know what? The power comes from the moment. Yetzer Hara's koyach and all of us is not to use that moment. You're going to walk out tonight, and some of you are going to say, wow. Oh, oh. Most of you are going to walk out and say, he doesn't know how to diet. I know how to diet, you know. I'm starting tomorrow morning. You know, that's what they got from the show. It's some weird. People have, you know, my whole story with the red light and the lady came out. My greatest story that I ever said in my life, how this girl changed her life. She was a Christian. She became a Jew. A red light, a Meister, this and that. And she wears her wedding gown. And everyone knows my story. And I came out and I was jumping and I was sweating. And the whole place was like, wow, you could change in 1 second, 40 seconds of red light. She was going to marry Vinny. She ended up being a Chassidish lady in Yerushalayim. My most famous story. And I told the story in Long Island, and I'm jumping, and I'm happy, and I'm always into this story, because it's like, the red light story is like, changed the most people's lives of any story that I say. And I come out, and I finish the story, and these five ladies come up to me, and they're angry, and they're steaming, and they're, you made it up. You made up that story. It's a lie. I'm like, excuse me, even if you think it, don't, you know, you shouldn't say it to me. No one's going to stand up for me by chasanas anymore, you know, if they find out that I make up stories. No, we know it's a lie. I'm like, please tell me, first of all, it's not a lie, and please tell me why you're saying it's a lie. This is what they got from a whole schmooze, an hour and 15 minutes. They're like, you're telling me, and in the story at the end, the girl that tells me the story, she was a seminary girl, and she saw this woman light candles. She had five kids, or six kids, and she lit candles in the wedding gown that she was going to marry Vinny in, so she made up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since she found out Hashem on Shabbos, that she always lights these candles in her wedding gown. So these women come up to me and they say, we know it's a lie. How do you know it's a lie? Because there's no way that this woman, after having five kids, could fit into the same wedding gown. So here I am. I'm giving a schmooze about tshuva, the moment, a whole schmooze. And these ladies are focusing the whole time. Can't be true. Can't be true. How could she fit into that gown? It's impossible. And then one lady said to me, I don't understand. I'm sure when she was going out to marry Vinny, she wasn't dressed correctly. She wasn't, she wasn't covered. Like, how could this woman be a Rav Aharon Lechosid, married to Rav Aharon Lechosid in Meir Shearim? How could she? And I said, excuse me, you think she didn't go to a tailor? And so I said to her, I said, you know what, ladies? I'm going to make you feel really good. I forgot part of the story. Oh, yeah, Rav Wallstein, yeah. I said, I forgot that's when the girl told me all the story, they told me that when she was going to marry Vinny, her gown was a size 2. And when she was lighting candles, her gown was a size 10. Okay, now the story's good. Oh, okay. That's what you got from the story. So there's going to be people walking out here tonight. Rabbi Wallerstein taught us how to diet. When you make up your mind you're getting on a diet, don't eat. Get on a diet right then and don't change your mind. The diet story has nothing to do with where I'm driving here tonight. It's just to give you an example in the physical world that if you don't do something in that moment, that you're not going to be able to do it later. You got to grab the moment. And this is what Mordechai told Esther. He didn't say, if you don't go. He said, if right now, hachareish tacharishi, girls, this is the world that we live in. And I don't want to say that he said it to a girl specifically, to Esther. But it's the world that you guys live in. Till you make a decision. What shoes, what dress, how you want to do your hair. Everything takes a very long time to make a decision. So Mordechai told Esther, when it comes to saving the Jews, you gotta make the decision now. Not, I gotta try this on, I gotta try that on, maybe I'll go to this store, I'll try that store. No. When you make a decision, when it comes to Judaism, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, you gotta make the decision in the moment. If you make the decision in the moment, it'll work. If you don't, when it comes to helping someone else is gonna come along and grab it. I don't know what schus I got to grab Arnava. I don't know, because I could have said no. There's no question about it. I must have done something right in my life that I have this schus. I'm not doing you a favor. You're doing me a favor. By you changing, by you growing, I'm going to get rewarded in the next world. I'm not doing you a favor. You're doing me a favor. You guys are putting money in the machine for me. I'm not doing you a favor. So what my schus is that But I know that if I didn't step up in that second, there'd be somebody else standing here. And maybe you'd have a building already, because they might have been better than me. The same thing with the building. Same thing with, I just went to someone. I'll just give you an example. I went to someone. The building is $7 to $9 million. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. $9 million. Chutzpah for Rabbi Wallerstein to even think that he could build a women's center for $9 million. Who do you think you are? Right? So I went to someone this week and I said to him, listen, the girls need it. We got a dorm, we got a pool, we got a gym, we got a library. This is going to be the place. Every woman's going to come here. You have a place to learn, a place to swim, a place to go to the gym. We're going to have basketball games. We're going to have a girl basketball league and a girls volleyball league. There's no reason for girls to hang out anymore Monday Shabbos. We're going to have a library that girls can come. Will there be art scrolls? Said they're going to give us every book that they ever came out with. You're going to come. You can come and learn anything you want to learn. You can do your homework. You can do your college work. It's going to have computers. It's going to have a chill room. It's going to have everything. $9 million. It's going to be right here. I'm a mishugana. I'm nuts. Right? Okay. But I know what's needed. So I went to somebody and I said to him, you got to help me out. Someone has to give me the first million. I need the first million. We have to build on something. No, this guy could give me $10 million. This guy could give me $10 million. He could build the building in 5 seconds. In 5 seconds. So he said to me, are you out of your mind? So he said to me, are you crazy? You're coming to me for $1 million? Are you crazy? This building is not going to happen, Zachariah. Take the Ornava the way it is. Knock out a couple of walls, make a couple of classrooms, spend $100,000, $200,000. You don't need a pool. Girls don't like to swim anyway. You don't need a gym. Let them use the public school across the street. You don't need a library. They have that in their college. He took my whole building apart. Piece by piece, every room. They don't need a chill room. Let them go to the bowling alley. He took my whole building apart. So I turned to him, and I said exactly what Mordechai said to Esther. I said, listen to me. In HaCharesh Tacharishi, if you're going to delay, you're not going to give me this check, and you're not going to do this, let me tell you something. The building, if Hashem wants it to happen, the building is going to happen. You are not going to be part of the building. The building's happening. That's what he told Esther. The building's happening. You want to be part of the you want to be part of the happening? Get into it. You don't want to be part of the happening? But let me tell you, before I walked out, I said, whether you give me the money or not, we're getting the money. And that's this week's Pasha. This week's Pasha is Pasha's by Yakel. Did he give me the million? Of course not.
Maybe he gave you 2 million.
But you know what? But I'll tell you the truth. I walked out and I said, I have Nebuchadnezzar on him because he could, and he could have been part of it. And I have no question in my heart that this building is going to happen. You're going to be in this, that building is going to happen. If Hashem wants it, Bezrat Hashem. But there's, someone's going to step, there's no question. What's the... Sorry. There's a... I'm not making an appeal for a building here. I just want you to, I want you to understand, this is what he was saying. Here, listen to me. I'm sure you all say Shir HaMalos all the time. There's 15 Shir HaMaloses. We don't concentrate about what we say. Listen carefully to what it says here. Shir HaMalos, which number is this? This is Tehillim Kuf Chav Zayin. Shir HaMalos L'Shlomo. This week's Pasha, I'm ending with this. This week's Pasha is Vayakel. Vayakel was the building of the Mishkan. What does it say in Pasha Vayakel? It says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, we have enough. We have enough, we have extra. If you have extra, you surely have enough. What he was saying is that when you have extra, then every person can't say, it's because I built the building. Because you don't know, you had extra. So you don't know whose stuff was extra and whose stuff was used. When they built the Mishkan, everybody gave. Nobody said, you don't need this. It has to be gold. Make it out of copper. Make it out of this. They ran, and Klai Yisrael gave so that there was, Moshe Rabbeinu said, stop. It's too much. It's too much. So the Mishkan was going to be built. And the guys that were hemming and hawing, the Nesiim who came and said, listen, the Jews they don't have enough money. Whatever they don't finish, we'll finish. What happened to the Nesiim? They came to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was built already. They got nothing. There wasn't one Nasi that put one thing into the Mishkan. They ended up bringing Karbanos, but they had, when they put up the Mishkan, the Nesiim walked away and said, there's nothing here for me. Because they waited. The Mishkan's going to be built anyway. The building's going to be built anyway. Klai Yisrael's going to be saved anyway. The girl next to you is going to end up becoming from anyway. You have the moment and the chance to do it. If you step away, you just hurt yourself. She's going to become about tshuva anyway. It's just who's going to get the schus to make her about tshuva. So in Shir HaMalos, what does it say? Shir HaMalos l'Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech built the most beautiful Beis HaMikdash, millions and millions of dollars. If you read in Navi how he built this Beis HaMikdash, amazing. What does David HaMelech say? Shir HaMalos l'Shlomo im Hashem lo yivne bayis. If God does not build the house, which is the Beis HaMikdash, shav amlu banav bo. In vain does its builders labor. It's not going to happen. If God doesn't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. If God wants it to happen, you should be so lucky that you're part of it. So I just want to, and I'm ending with this. I've been asking you girls, I'm sorry for stepping on your heads tonight, but I have been asking all of you for years to help us in Chesed. For years. Not for a week. I need your car, I need a ride. I went to this Rebbetzin with Avivit, and we sat there with this Rebbetzin, and she needs food to be brought to poor people's houses. And we sat there like big shots, me and Avivit. We got 2,600 girls. Whatever you need. She needed like five cars 2 days a week. We were like laughing. It's a no-brainer. We're going to send an email to our 2,600 girls. We're going to have cars from here to Kazoo. Nobody. Not one girl sent back and said, I can do Tuesday and I can do Wednesday. Not one. We send these emails out all the time. Tonight I got up and I said, mitzvah car rides. You think that I believe for 1 second that we're going to have 10 mitzvah car rides next week? Because in the past, nobody steps up here. Now, why does nobody step up here? I'll tell you why. Hachareish, tacharishi. I got to think about it. I got to see if it works out with my college schedule. I got to see if it works out with this schedule. I got to think. So guess what? You think those poor people that the Rebbetzin wants to send food to are starving? No. Someone else is taking it to those people. But you're not getting the mitzvah. You missed out on it. Those poor people are not going to starve. Some other girl is going to get into a car and take the food to those poor people. But all of you missed the boat. All of you missed the boat. When it comes to visiting sick people, when it comes to tutoring, we have sent out in 4 years. We need tutors. We need drivers. We need chavrusas. We try to start a chavrusa program for girls who don't know how to read. Guess how that went? 1 week and it was gone. Guess why? Because the from side didn't show up to help the kids who don't know how to read. And this is what Mordechai was screaming at Esther. Yeah, you're going to do it when you're married and you have a house. Then I'll have hachnasas archim. When everything works out, it'll never happen. You'll get married, you'll be busy. It'll never happen. Ki hachareish tacharishi, because you're putting it off. And maybe that's why Mashiach is taking so long. Because we want Mashiach to come now. And mida keneged mida is, if you want him to come now, then you got to start doing mitzvahs now. And you got to start doing chesed now. And that's what Ador is about. Ador is about shlachmonos. Arba is shlachmonos, one person to another. Matonos le'evyonim. Su'ud, about the physical, about helping other people. And now it's coming Pesach. It's coming to help people with Pesach. How many people in this room ever offered to help some lady who doesn't have help to clean? I'm going to clean your house, me and three other girls. We're going to come clean your house for Pesach. Huh? How come we can't get up and say, we got 2,000 young girls that want to hook you up, 3-4 girls, to go to old ladies who can't clean for Pesach and clean for them? How many are you going to show up? I'll check it out right away. We'll think about it. We'll talk about it. We'll walk about it. I'll get my friend. We'll call about it. Check up on my dad, my schedule, and my this and my that. It doesn't ever happen. So when you go to a hospital, who are the women that are visiting the sick? And who are the men that are visiting the sick? Go to Maimonides. And one of the big volunteers, I don't want to embarrass in front of everyone, is sitting in this room right now. Okay? And ask her how many young girls are walking around, going room to room. Who is the Bikur Cholim? The older women. And the older men. Where are all the young ones? You're so busy. What are you busy with? You're so busy? And the answer is, Ki acharish tacharishi. Yeah, somebody else is going to do it. The people who are sick, people are going to visit them. But you're losing your moment in time that you could grab, which is forever in the next world. When you help that woman, Rabbi Lamb got up a few years ago and he spoke about this. When you help that woman, when you feed her, when you give her a ride, that ride is forever. Wow. That's a powerful speech. He's okay. He's okay. All right. I guess I got my point across. God, don't delay. Don't delay. Go out there. Whatever you're learning, whatever you're growing, jump on it. Jump on the moment. In this chus of jumping on the moment,
The next moment, Bezrat Hashem, we'll see Mashiach. B'mehreh b'yameinu, amen.